Trust that you do. You would turn to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. We'll continue our study there. Excuse me. In James chapter number 5. About to wrap up this book. We've taken most of the verses and just kind of highlighted the major truths. Certainly we haven't exhausted by any means the teachings of the book of James, but I trust that we've given you some things to go back and study and have just a little bit of a handle on the book. It's the purpose of the writing of the book, who wrote the book, and maybe some of the major themes. The major theme of James is on behavior. It speaks of Christian behavior, how we ought to behave ourselves as Christians and do things that are becoming as a Christian. Here in James chapter 5, we want to pick up our reading in verse number 16, and we'll read down through verse number 18. If you'll remember, last week we talked about these three moods, the three moods that are mentioned in verse number 13. It says, is any among you afflicted, going through a hardship? What do you do when you're going through a hardship, when you're afflicted, when you have pressure on you? Well, James says, pray. And then he said in verse number 13, is any merry? That's a mood. What do you do when you're merry? Well, you sing. Isn't that what James said? Sing some praises. Amen. Then he said, is any sick among you? And he said, well, you call for the elders. He said, you have to call for them. Don't wait around and think, well, you know, people will come to me. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you call them. You're sick, you call them and say, hey, I need you to come and minister to me. You call for the elders of the church and says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we talked about that some. I don't believe this is just like your common cold here. When you really begin to look into the scripture, I don't think this is what this is referring to because of a number of things in that context. And I've preached it before, I'll preach it again, it's not the message tonight. But because of some of the things that are mentioned in verse number 15 and verse number 16, I think that it's maybe sin dealing possibly with, it's kind of connected with your spiritual life. It's a sickness that could be because of sin. All right? And there are sickness. Now, someone may have left the service last week and said, well, the preacher said if you're sick, it's because of your sin. I didn't say that. Now, I did say this. All sickness is because of original sin. Original sin. Okay? So don't get that confused with the personal sin that you commit and have not confessed and will not confess unto the Lord, and it's brought about an untimely sickness in your life. And so I want to clear that up just in case someone left and said, well, you know, anybody that's sick is because they're sinning. No. All right. Verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now that's the scripture that we're going to look into tonight. I want to talk to you about, let us pray. Let us pray. Prayer is something that James mentions over and over again in this epistle. Tonight, around our country and around the world in certain areas on the same time zone, and if not, they've already had or they will be having what we call prayer meeting. And that's what tonight is. Now, we're going to do Bible study here. But we had a good season of prayer in our prayer time. And I trust you did as well. And that happens regularly on Wednesday night. When our prayer group gets together, we have a good season of prayer. We share with one another. We pray with one another. And I have absolutely full confidence that that happens in all the prayer groups here at the church. And it's why you're here. You're here because you believe in the power of prayer. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The power of prayer. Let us pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this passage for tonight. And I pray that it is timely that we've met here on this prayer meeting night, that we would see some things in this passage of Scripture that would encourage us in this ministry of prayer. Help us, Lord, to realize what a privilege we have, what a privilege has been afforded us that we could call out unto the God of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ. We can make our petitions known unto you. And I pray you would help us to understand what it is to have this great resource of prayer at our disposal. God, help us not to take for granted. Help us not to forfeit this great privilege that you've given us, but to utilize this weapon, the weaponry of prayer, in our Christian experience and in our Christian walk. And as you do, God, we will thank you for it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. James, as I said, the Bible doesn't say this about James, but James, there's history. There's the writings of Josephus, and there's others who wrote history about biblical characters and biblical times. And those who wrote the history said that James had a nickname. You know, just like John and James, the sons of thunder was their nickname. Well, this James had a nickname, okay? His nickname was Old Camel Knees. Now, they say that he got that name because he was a man of devout prayer. And James mentions prayer many times. I'm just going to point out a couple. He began the book in chapter number 1, in verse number 5, and he said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." That's prayer. He said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Turn, if you would, to chapter 5, and we'll see just a few more times. It's mentioned, he closes the book out with just a number of references to prayer. Chapter 5, verse 13, we've already mentioned that. "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray." He said it again in verse number 14. He said, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him." Verse 15 says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick." Verse number 16 says that as you confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. And then it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Verse 18 says, "And he prayed again." And so there's a lot of references to prayer, in particular in this section that we're going to talk about tonight. And so I want to talk to you about prayer. The first thing I want you to notice that James does in this section is it kind of gives us an explanation of how to have your prayers answered. Now, everybody wants their prayers answered, all right? Now, not everyone gets their prayers answered. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you getting your prayers answered? Now, there's one thing that you absolutely have to do to get your prayers answered, okay? And I want you to listen very carefully. You have to pray. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Is that James chapter 4? I believe it is. Right here in James chapter 4, the latter part, verse number 2 says, "Yet you have not because you ask not." So in order to get your prayers answered, we must pray. That's the first thing. Someone has said that it's not that God has quit answering prayer, it's that God's people have quit asking in prayer. A lot of prayer that goes without resolve is not that it's been unanswered, it's unasked. We need to pray. The songwriter said we forfeit a lot of things by not seeking the Lord in prayer. The Bible teaches that. And so by prayer, when you study through the Scripture, a lot of miraculous things happen. All right? The mouth of lions were stopped. The sun stood still. Right? Through prayer, God did miraculous things. Now, God's not through doing miraculous things. God wants to do miracles through His people. Now, I'm not talking about some psycho babble. I'm talking about God doing something for His children because they, by faith, have asked Him through prayer. God wants us to call upon Him. God wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to pray to Him. And so, James said, here in chapter number 5, in verse number 16, The latter part of that says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So number one, do you pray? Number two, do your prayers get answered? You know, sometimes it's good just to sit down and think, when's the last time my prayer was answered? God answers the prayers of His children. God hears the answers or hears the prayers of His children, but that's not where it stops. God answers the prayers of His people. Amen. You're an answer to prayer. I've never met anyone that got saved that could say, nobody prayed for me. Most of the time, people know who it was that prayed for them diligently before they came to Christ. Who have you prayed for that has come to Christ? Since you have come to Christ, who have you prayed for? And you've seen God answer prayer time and time again by saving that loved one or that co-worker or that neighbor because you called their name out in prayer. God answers prayer. Don't you let the devil tell you that God doesn't answer prayer. Don't let him discourage you from praying and trying to tell you, well, God doesn't hear your prayer. God doesn't answer your prayer. Well, we're going to see from the scripture here what the Bible says. And the Bible is always right. It's never wrong. The Bible's always right. And what God says is always so. All right? So here it is. Look at it. Verse number 16. He said, I want to give you an explanation about prayer. He said, the first thing I want you to notice, if you want your prayers answered now, if you want your prayers answered, as I've already said, you've got to pray. Now notice what else you have to do in verse number 16. Look at the latter part of verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, gets the job done. Gets answered. Much things happen when this man prays. What kind of man is it? A righteous man. And so if you want your prayers answered, you've got to be righteous. You say, well, preacher, that's going to knock me out of the running. I'm not righteous. Well, now, wait a minute. What is James speaking of here? What's he talking about? When he says a righteous man, what is a righteous man? Well, in the Bible, and I want you to follow me now. In the Bible, this speaks of the integrity, a righteous man. In the Bible, there's two positions of righteousness. There is a positional righteousness, and then there's a practical righteousness, all right? Now, positionally, when we get saved, the Bible teaches that we are in Christ. We are in Christ. You see, in ourselves, now listen to me now, in ourselves dwelleth no good thing. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6 says, all of our righteousnesses is a filthy rags. Now that doesn't sound like a righteous man. Right? You say, well, that's me, preacher. And so I'm not gonna be able to avail much in prayer, but wait, the final chapter of the story hasn't been written. The Bible also says that when a person comes to Christ, that Christ exchanges some things. He took his sin on himself, and he, in exchange, gave us his righteousness. Listen what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, meaning God, hath made him, meaning Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, listen now, the righteousness of God in him. You see, there's nothing righteous about us. But when we come to Christ and confess our sin, write that down now, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You'll want to read that, memorize it, claim it, because we are righteous only in Christ. Only in Christ. We are righteous in our standing before God. So now when God looks upon me as a Christian, when God looks upon you as a son of God, he sees Jesus and his righteousness. That is our positional standing before the Lord. That's called positional righteousness. But now, here, I believe with all of my heart that James is not speaking of positional righteousness, and I'll show you why in a moment. I think he is speaking of practical or personal righteousness. The word righteousness is right acts. You doing right? Are you? You know in your heart if you are. I know if I'm doing right. You say, well, I don't do right all the time. I didn't ask that question. I said, are you doing right? Are you doing right? Are you doing right acts? James says in verse number 16, I want to explain to you how to get your prayers answered. Do right. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right. Though the storms fall, do right. Brethren, as a Christian, we ought to do right. You say, well, I can't do right. You have the right doer living in you. The Holy Spirit of God will empower you, will empower me to do the right thing, the right thing, to make the right decision, to make the right choice. We have a choice, and the Holy Spirit, when He fills us, will fill us to do right. In ourselves, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. He said, I have no confidence in my flesh, but in Christ, through the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we can do right. And so he said, you want your prayers answered? Do right. Do right. You listening now? The Bible says in Isaiah 59 that our iniquities have separated between us and our God, and our sins have hid His face from us. Oh, but I'm glad. Listen, when we get saved, God forgives us and He cleanses us of sin, and now we stand before God righteous. But now we do right through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, number one, there is the integrity of prayer. A righteous man. A righteous man. Are you doing right? Well, I'll say this. I'll tell you one thing you're doing right. You're in church tonight. Amen. Did you make right decisions today? Did you? Did you keep the law of the land? Did you pray, read your Bible? Did you do good unto others? The Bible says do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Doesn't the Bible teach that? Do you do right? Brother, we try to make this thing out like it's some kind of, it takes some type of theological seminary training to do right. It doesn't. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit and us following the leading of God to do right. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. If it's right, do it. If it's not, don't. Amen. Do right. So he said, the effectual, fervent prayer. Now, we're zeroing in on that right there, of a righteous man. Do you do right? You want your prayers answered? Do right. Why? Because Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, God's not going to honor the prayer of a person that won't confess their sin and won't do right, and that lives in direct, deliberate disobedience to His word without any lamenting and any forsaking of sin. God's not going to answer your prayer now. You're not going to get your prayers answered. You say, well, I'm just doing wrong, and I know I'm doing wrong, but I'm not doing anything about it. You want your prayers answered? You've got to confess your sin and tell God you're sorry. Acknowledge you're doing wrong and tell God you're sorry and ask Him for forgiveness. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that He will forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you'll begin to see God answer your prayer again. Now I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. The Bible teaches this, okay? I've given you scripture. The Bible teaches that God answers the prayer. That much things, listen, you can get much accomplished. I can get much accomplished. Much can avail. Much can happen. When we do right and pray to God. All right? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. I didn't say that. So don't leave here and say, well, hey, I got a new ticket tonight. I'm going to cash in. I'm going to get everything I want. The preacher said, I can pray for anything I want, and God will do it as long as I do right. I didn't say that. I said, God will answer your prayer. Amen. But God answers prayer in His way and in His time. But if you want your prayers answered. See, sometimes God will give you more than what you ask for. And God will give you something better than what you ask in prayer. God ever done that for you? Raise your hand. I'm so glad that God has given me more and better than what I've asked for. I don't know what's best for me, but God does. God knows what's best for us, brethren. So number one, the integrity of prayer, do right. Number two, look at it here. The intensity of prayer. Notice what he said. You want your prayers answered? Do right. Righteous man. But, he said, the effectual, fervent prayer. How are you praying? That word effectual means the energizing prayer. It comes from a word that means energy, power. Is there power in your prayer? Is there power in my prayer? Is God involved in our prayer life? Is the Holy Spirit moving in our heart and leading us into prayer? Are we just praying what our minds and our flesh? The Bible teaches that we need to get the Spirit of God involved in our prayer life. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Listen, there's many scriptures that I could turn to this evening and show us where the Bible says that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our prayer lives. Because we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. You ever been there? I'm in Romans chapter 8 now, okay? Romans chapter 8 verse 26 says we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And so we need the Spirit of God to lead us and teach us how to pray. And so as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking to you tonight. James is telling us how to get our prayers answered. Now we want our prayers answered, right? Sure we do. What encourages us to continue to pray? Answered prayer. You know why a lot of people have quit praying? They quit getting their prayers answered. They just thought, well, prayer doesn't work. Oh, listen, prayer does work. It may not be working for you because you're not doing what God said to do, but I'm here to tell you, prayer works. Prayer works. Amen. I've seen it work in the last day. Prayer works. If we would keep our eyes open, there's few days that go by that God's not answering prayer. Prayer works. We had a man in our prayer group say something that's very, very, it's got a lot of truth to it, a lot of weight. When God answers prayer in your life, tell people. Tell people. Why? Because they need to know. Prayer works. Remember I asked you to pray for me? Prayer worked. They need to know that. And that might be just the encouragement that keeps them praying. Maybe they're growing weary and they're thinking, well, maybe God's not listening. And then somebody comes on and says, remember I asked you to pray? God answered that prayer. Prayer works. Prayer works, brethren. Prayer works. So, he said, you want your prayers answered. And I'm explaining to you how to get your prayers answered. Number one, a righteous man. Do right. All right? And we don't have to get into get a Greek lexicon out and break all this down. Just do right. Just do the right thing. Number two, effectual. Fervency. You know what that word fervency? Stretching out. Stretching out, which is what? Don't give up. Don't give up. So, well, I prayed a week and it didn't happen. Well, pray another week. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. And he prayed again. Start back praying. So, well, I've given up on that person, or I've given up on that hope, or I've given up on that situation. Don't you ever give up on God. God never gave up on you. We ought never give up on God. But I know the flesh is weak. I understand. I've given up. I'm not going to stand up here and say I've never given up, but I've been sorry that I did. Don't give up on God. God hasn't given up. Don't you give up. God, help me not to give up. That's what that word fervent means, all right? When you look at it, it means to stretch out. It's like a runner that's stretching out for the finish line. I'm going to keep on until I cross the finish line, until something happens. I'm not going to quit praying until I see God do something. Where are those days? The church used to believe that way. The church used to practice that. And so we said effectual, working power in prayer. We need to get God involved in our prayer life. These carnal, shallow, simple prayers that are all about the flesh and give me, listen, that's not God's way. The Bible says, delight in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Which means you love God. You want what God wants, and you'll start seeing your prayers get answered. Amen. And so here it is. Number one, the integrity of prayer. The integrity. I want you to write this. I want you to go there with me because I want you to see this. Go to Psalm 130. Because I sense in my heart there's somebody here who says, well, you know, preacher, I've blown it. And I'm just not a very righteous person. Well, you might be right in that you're not very righteous. But that doesn't mean you can't change. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean you can't change and start doing right. Change your ways. Turn it over to God. Get along with God and give yourself wholly to Him and say, God, I want to live for You and I want to do right. But now on the flip side of that, don't leave here thinking, well, if I don't live perfect, I'm not going to get my prayers answered. That's not the message that's coming from this pulpit tonight. Look at Psalm 130, if you would. Psalm 130, look if you would in Psalm 130 in verse number 3. Psalm 130, verse number 3. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who's going to get their prayers answered? If God doesn't forgive us and make us right, no one. No one. All right? So don't think that I'm standing up here twisting God's word to say that if you don't do everything right, your prayers are not going to get answered. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we know right and wrong, and when we choose to go against the Spirit's leading in our better judgment, and we sin against God, whether it be in word or in deed, and we will not make that right, it hinders our prayer life. And we've got to get that thing right. All right? So now you know and I know. So number one, the integrity of prayer, a righteous man. Number two, the intensity, the effectual, fervent prayer. Now someone said, well, I'm fervent in my prayer. I scream when I pray. Really? Amen. You say, loud prayer gets answered, preacher. Well, it might, but it doesn't have to be loud. If I recall, there was a lady by the name of Hannah who only moved her lips, and not a word was heard of her voice. But God honored that prayer and filled her barren womb. Now you're talking about a miracle. Amen? So now don't think, well, fervency means I've got to sweat and scream. Listen, if that's the way you pray, lock yourself up and go for it. Amen? I'm serious. Listen, if that's what you want to do, go for it. So don't think loud is what means. When I say energy, I'm not talking about people beating on stuff and, you know, when they're praying and slamming on stuff and, if that's what you do, listen, I'm not belittling you. Don't think that. You go ahead and do that. If you're comfortable doing that, that's fine. Just kind of get along. Amen. Don't hurt nobody when you pray. And then two, you say, well, the effectual fervent. Look at it there in James. We're back in James chapter 5 in verse number 16. Effectual fervent. That means I need to pray a long time. Well, you might need to. Sometimes Jesus went in the mountain and prayed all night. Amen. You might need to pray long. But now, Peter said, Lord, save me, and got his prayer answered. So you might not need to pray long. It just depends on what the situation is and how God's leading. Sometimes an effectual, fervent prayer can be long. Sometimes an effectual, fervent prayer can be just a few words. Straight from your heart. And by the way, that's what this means. The effectual, fervent prayer. The prayer from the heart. God is listening. God is listening. Aren't you glad God wants to know what's on our heart? He already knows. He just wants us to share it with Him. It's good for us to do that. So, the intensity. Now I want to go to the vastness of it. And I use the word immensity, okay? It's large. You want to get your prayers answered, right? Look what He said. Number one, righteous. Number two, got to be fervent. It's got to be real. Listen, vain repetition's no good. Sometimes I feel that we all ought to tape ourselves speaking and praying so that we can hear ourselves and hear what other people hear. Because vain repetition, Jesus said, no. He said, your prayers are not going to get answered by vain repetition. Now that doesn't mean coming back and being persistent in prayer, but it means just saying things for the sake of, like, religious rhetoric. All right? That's not praying. Religious rhetoric. God wants to hear what's on your heart. God doesn't want me to paint some kind of, you know, a proper verbal mural that's impressive to man. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for what's right in here. What's on your heart? It may be, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what Jesus said when that Pharisee and that publican, remember? Luke 18, when they went down to the temple to pray, Jesus said, that man right there went back to his house justified. That one man went down there and said, oh, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not this and that. I'm glad I do this. And I'm glad I'm not like this old sinner over here. I'm all this and all that. And Jesus said, that's just a bunch of jargon. Just a bunch of words. Means nothing. It's not effectual. It's not fervent. It's not from the heart. You know what your prayer's answer? Bear your soul to Jesus. Tell God your heart. Get real with God. God will answer your prayer. Brethren, we want our prayers answered. And if we do, we're going to have to do it God's way now. Number one, we said, righteous. Number two, effectual, fervent. Now look at three. Availeth much. I want my prayers to mean something. I want them to do something. I want it to avail much. So here's an explanation right here. He gave it right here. This is the way that you get your prayers answered. Right here. When's the last time God answered a prayer? So, well, God's answering a bunch of prayers for me. Okay, write them down so you can give God the glory for it. Amen. Write them down. Take a little journal. You know, I've been asking God for this and God came through. Now the devil will say, oh, that's just a coincidence. Where's Brother John Shiflett at? Just a coincidence, Brother John. Me and Brother John have an ongoing joke, been going for years. We'll pray about something as in the Sunday school department. He and I have worked together in ministry for years. And we'd pray about things and God would do it. And we would just smile and say, well, you know, just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Hey, that's God hearing and answering the prayers of His people. God hears and answers the prayers of His people. And don't you let any agnostic, atheist, God-denying, backslidden devil tell you any different. God hears and answers the prayers of His people. Someone has said, you want to see what science can do? Try science. You want to see what people can do? Try people. You want to see what programs can do? Try programs. You want to see what God can do? Try praying. Amen. Get on your face before God and bear your heart to God and say, God, I need You. This is bigger than I am. This is outside the realm of the possible. And God, if You don't get involved, this won't get done. Get involved and please help me. And you'll see God get involved. Now I want to close with this. We see, first of all, the explanation of answered prayer. And now we're going to talk about, just for a moment, the example. Who do you think He's going to use? Well, you already know. We've already read the Scripture. If someone were to come up to you and say, hey, listen, go through the Old Testament and find me somebody that would be a great example of prayer. Well, it may be Abraham. Abraham was always building altars, right? I mean, he was. Abraham was building altars to God. He was praying. He was. Maybe old Daniel. Remember what he did? They said, hey, no more praying and talking to God. Daniel said, that's not going to work with me. He raised his window toward the east, toward Jerusalem, three times a day and called out to God. Amen. He's a good one to use, right? Maybe old David, he said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and the Lord will hear my voice. Maybe Moses. What a man of prayer. Moses, what a man of God. A man of prayer. But God laid on James's heart to choose a prophet. Maybe the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, Elijah. Notice what he said here. He said, I want to explain prayer, and I want to tell you how to get your prayers answered. And he said, now I want to tell you about a man who got his prayers answered. I want to give you an example of a man. Now, when you first read this, you think, well, if you got to be like Elijah, man, I don't know that I'm going to get my prayers answered. But I'm glad what James did here. Don't miss it. All right? Look what he said in verse 17. Elias, okay, that's just a New Testament spelling from the Greek, from an Old Testament spelling from the Hebrew Chaldean of Elijah, all right? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, he starts off the very first thing. Now, listen, I like this, all right? I like this. The very first thing that he does is he tells us this man has weaknesses. Now, I'll listen. Amen. Listen to me now. See, had he started out saying, man, this guy went and he called down fire from heaven and it lapped up the sacrifices and they all started shouting, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. Well, we might say, well, I don't know. I don't know. I've never been part of many things like that. Maybe never of anything like that. But he said, hey, I want to tell you. You think about old Elijah. You think Elijah had troubles? Yeah. You think Elijah ever doubted God? Mm-hmm. Was Elijah ever scared? Sure. Sure. Did Elijah ever pray and say, well, maybe God will do it, maybe he won't. Lord, I don't know if God's going to do it. Can God meet my need? Can God feed me? Can God protect me? Did Elijah ever get to the place to where he was doubting? Sure. So he said, I want to start out this way. I want to tell you something now. He said, I want to tell you about a man who got in touch with heaven. Who got in touch with heaven and brought heaven's will to earth. But before I tell you about him, I want you to know he's just like you. He's just like you are. Look what he said now. He said he's weak. He has weaknesses. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Thank you, James. Because had you not said that, though I know Elijah's just flesh and blood, it'd been hard for me to really comprehend that me and Elijah had anything in common. So what have we been? What's happening here? The Spirit of God is saying, "Hey, folks, God wants to hear from you." You say, "Well, I'm weak." Yeah, I know, but He's strong. Amen. I doubt sometimes. Yeah, but God's good for what doubts you. God will build confidence in your doubt. God wants to hear from you. Don't give up on God. Don't quit praying. Don't. Keep praying. You say, but preacher, sometimes I can't even get out of my own way. God still loves you. God still has something for your life. God still wants to work in you. God still wants to hear from you. God still wants to answer your prayer. Amen. He might have to work on you before he can answer you. But that might be the greatest need you have anyway. That might need the greatest answer you need. And so he said, number one, I'm going to mention his weakness. He's subject to like passions, his circumstances, his problems, his failures, just like ours. Number two, and I'm just going to skim over these because of time, all right? So notice what he said here in verse number 17. Number one, his weakness. Number two, his earnestness. You see it there? Though he was weak, he didn't allow that to become an excuse. It says, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. That word means that Elijah put his all in it. He poured his heart in it. He was earnest. He wasn't just like, oh God, you know, save my mom and dad and yeah, my children too. That's not the way Elijah prayed. Elijah poured his heart into it. It meant something to him. Now, brethren, if we're going to get our prayers answered, it's going to have to mean something to us. Yeah. You want to see somebody get saved? I mean, there's a war going on. There's a war going on. The devil's just not going to hand that person over and say, well, go ahead. You know, there's a spiritual warfare going on for the souls of men, for the movement of the church. This church, if we're going to continue to march on like a mighty army, we're going to have to continue to pray, get a hold of heaven, and ask God to bind back the forces of hell as we march forward. Brethren, we're not in retreat. We're moving forward. The only way we're going to be able to do that is by prayer. Prayer. So he said he prayed earnestly, all right? Number one, he's a man of like passions. That speaks of his weakness. But he prayed earnestly. That speaks of his earnestness. He poured his heart into it. But here's the final thing, and I'm not sure this might not be the most important attribute in Elijah's life when it came to prayer, and that was his effectiveness. Notice what it said. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not. Amen. On the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. You ready for this? He prayed again. You know what that means? In praying, he prayed. Elijah just didn't use these great swelling words. He just cut through the chase and got right to it. That's the kind of praying we need to pray. And I'm not saying we ought to be disrespectful and not prepared and in our hearts as we approach God, but we have to understand that God's not going to hear our prayer for much speaking. Isn't that what Jesus said? He's not. It's going to be what's real from our heart. And the Bible says that Elijah, and in verse number 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn, but when you get home, I want you to read about this occasion in 1 Kings 17 and 18. It's very, very encouraging. Very, very encouraging. Oh, Elijah had a servant. And he went, and the Bible says he bent and he bowed his head between his knees. And he told his servant, he said, "You see rain?" And he went out and he looked and he said, "No rain." Elijah didn't say, "Ah, I knew it. It's not God's will." That's not what he did. He prayed. And he prayed again and again and again. How many times? Seven. Seven times. And on the seventh time, he said, "You see anything out there?" And the servant went and said, "I see a cloud about the size of a hand." Amen. God was moving. God was moving. Oh, Elijah was moving heaven. What about that? Did you know that he's of like passions just like us? Did you know we can move heaven? It's real, brethren. It's real. But now you're going to have to get intense. Pray. Can't quit. Maybe that fifth time the servant came back, Elijah was thinking, man. He persevered on. He was persistent in his prayer, and he prayed, and he said, "Go again." Sixth time. The seventh time he said, "I see something." Boy, by the next time, guess what he said? "Man, it's dark. It's dark." Amen. You know what Elijah said? God's on the scene. He said, "Ahab, you might as well go ahead and pack your stuff and get on down to the house. The rain's coming." You ought to read it. Read it when you get home. I tell you right now, it'll do something for you. It'll make you spend a little time in your prayer closet tonight. Maybe that person you've quit praying for, you'll pull that sheet back out and put their name on it and say, "God, I'm sorry I gave up on him. I'm sorry I gave up on her. God, you didn't give up on them, and I don't want to give up on them. I may be the only person standing between them and eternity without Christ. God, I won't give up on them. Don't you give up. I'm glad my grandmother didn't give up on me. I'm 100% sure that I stand before you saved in the grace of God because of the love of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, but I had a praying grandmother who didn't give up on me. And every now and then I'll try to give up on somebody and God will remind me. How you want to give up on them? I didn't give up on you. Your grandmother didn't give up on you. Why you want to give up? Don't you ever give up." We were at the hospital, and I don't think Sister Wendy would mind me mentioning this. We're at the hospital, and I won't go into detail, but you know, Sister Wendy's family is a lot like your family and my family. There can be tension sometimes when there's sickness and illness, and when you're saved and they're not, there can be tension because there's differences of ways. And so she asked me, she said, "You know, I spoke with my family, and I'd been talking with Sister Wendy, telling her I'd like to come by and visit with her." And she said, "Well, you know, the time's not right." And I wanted to honor that. But she contacted me and said, I think the time's right. I've spoke with my family. And so on the way up there, Sheridan and I went up to the hospital, and I said, honey, I don't know what we're going into, all right? I said, do you have your mace? No, I didn't say that. I did not say that, okay? She can testify. But I've been in some situations, all right, when it comes to families. I mean, I've been in some situations. I really have. And so we go up, and we go, and there's Sister Wendy's dad. And he's laying there in a unresponsive state, but he has responded. And there was his girlfriend of many years, I believe, and Wendy and her grandmother and her sister and her brother were there. And lost the sister and brother and the girlfriend. And we began to pray. You know, we talked a little bit and we began to pray. And when we prayed, we held hands, and I just, you know how God just kind of shows up. You know, I mean, it was real. God just came into that room and made his presence known. And God was moving on those people's hearts now. They was turning their head around because they didn't want us to see them crying. I mean, they were weeping because God moved in and settled into that room. And Wendy began to share with them about how her dad had made a profession of faith, and I didn't know until later that they had never heard of that. And we were getting ready to leave, and the Spirit of God said, you need to tell those people. And so I had some gospel tracts, and I had already taken off the stuff you have to put on, and I said, look, I've got to tell you, you know. The Lord impressed upon my heart, and I said, I want to give you something. And I handed them a gospel tract, and I said, I want to tell you that this gospel tract will tell you how Jesus Christ can change your life. He changed my life. In 1980, the greatest thing that could ever happen to an individual happened to me. I got gloriously born again. I got saved by the grace of God, by following the simple plan of salvation that's found in God's Word. We left it at that. Now, you've been praying. So see, all that happened because of the result of God's people praying. I'm just sure of it. The gospel was able to be shared. We were able to have a visit. Today, Wendy asked me to call her because she wanted to share some good news with me. Her brothers and sisters now lost. And there's been, Wendy's, as a Christian, has maintained certainly a good rapport of their family, but just couldn't be a part of some things because she's a Christian. You understand that. And today, they said, been thinking about what Pastor Freeman and Wendy had said at the hospital, and we want to get saved. I mean, that is something. And she just said, she said, I can't text this. Or she said, you got to call me. I can't text this. She said, I'm just overflowing. And so I said, well, Sister Wendy, I'll make myself available to go to them, to their homes. We can meet in the chapel of the hospital. I'll do whatever. I want to see them get saved. Now that's answered prayer. That's just not my answered prayer or Wendy's answered prayer. Many of you, I've seen where you've told her and commented, hey, we're praying for your dad. God answers prayer. Now, he does. So don't you ever give up now. And I'll let Wendy at her, sometimes when we're having a testimony service, she may want to tell you that the old devil's trying to get her, and the old flesh trying to get her to give up. He was trying to persuade her to give up. But the Spirit of God said no and moved on her to change a decision. And said, don't you give up. And as a direct result of her being obedient to the Holy Spirit, now here's her family saying, we want what you've got. We want what you have. Let's stand to our feet. So what's the message? James, what message do you have for us? God hears and answers the prayers of his children. He did it for Elijah. And he'll do it for you. Now he will. You say, preacher, will the Will the God of heaven answer my prayer? He sure will.